Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are back with a brand new episode. And the main topic of this episode is your week three NFL picks due to the fact that there's no UFC. It's one of those off weeks, one of the rare off weeks the UFC has. I think besides this one, there's maybe one more until the end of 2024. So that's some good relief. But I mean, week three of the NFL going down tonight, actually. As I'm recording this, it is Thursday, September 19th. So by the time you listen to this, you'll already know what my prediction was for the Patriots and Jets game. But we got all the locks. We're also going to be talking about fantasy football on this episode, the top 10 spots for every position so far, including I'm going to touch a bit on my fantasy football teams, who I want to perform well in the upcoming week. Exciting stuff. Also looking at new things in pop culture, an update to the UFC rankings. We got all sorts of fun stuff here on the podcast. It's what we do. It's what we're about. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right on into it, guys, and we always kick off every episode with new UFC news, and we have a couple of new fights to talk about, then we're going to dive into the rankings a bit, but since we last spoke, of course, the UFC 309 main event was announced. John Jones, Stipe Miocic, very big deal. You also have Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira, Paul Craig versus Bo Nickel, a lot of fun fights going down on the November pay-per-view, but as of late, we've had a couple of other good ones announced. This one for UFC 308. Of course, going down October 26th in Abu Dhabi. This one at bantamweight, Saeed Nurmagomedov, who is 18-3 professionally, wins over Cody Stamann and Douglas Silva de Andrade. He'll take on the 12-2 Daniel Santos. Daniel coming off a win over John Castaneda. This should be a very good one. And I mean, that card is absolutely loaded. 15 fights currently. Okay, I want you to know we have 10 prelims as of right now. This one, another very, very high-level fight. Saeed Nurmagomedov, good with the striking, good with the grappling. His only loss is a questionable decision loss to someone. I think it was Jonathan Martinez, maybe. It was someone where I did not think he suffered a defeat, but hey, that's just me. Daniel Santos should be entertaining, but I'm probably going to back Saeed Nurmagomedov. Here's another one coming at you. UFC Vegas 98 going down at the Apex, of course, October 12th. Welterweight matchup between Daniel Rodriguez. Daniel, who is currently 37 years old. He'll take on Alex the Great White Morono, 24-10 professionally. He is 35. I'm excited for this one. Okay, I'm a little excited for this one. This is one of those where if these guys want to make a run at the rankings, this is where you start with a win here. Alex Morono, he's had some very interesting fights. You know, he's beaten Don Cowboy Cerrone. He's fought Anthony Pettis. He's beaten Tim Means, beaten Max Griffin. He's also lost to Santiago Ponzinibbio. Alex Morono always has been in the mix. This one should be interesting, but I do actually favor Alex Morono in this one. Daniel Rodriguez hasn't done much. He's got knocked out by Ian Gary. That's just about it. Just a fascinating fight that they've decided to give us. Another one, this one on short notice, going down at UFC 307 on October 5th. I actually think my boy Seth is visiting that weekend. Alexander Hernandez stepping in the men's lightweight division to replace Nate Landwehr, who was supposed to take on Austin Hubbard. Alexander Hernandez is 14-8, 6-7 in the UFC. Actually holds wins over Oliver Aubin-Mercier, Jim Miller, and Benil Dariush. Pretty good resume there. Austin Hubbard holds a win over no one of relevance. He's 16-7 and was, I believe, the runner-up on the Ultimate Fighter last year, so that should be fun. I'm gonna back Alexander Hernandez. I still think he's got some gas in the tank. We'll have to see, though. And the final official fight announced, this one coming down at UFC Macau, going down in China, November 23rd. There's actually rumors Zhang Weili may be rematching Yan Xiaonan in a China versus China main event on that card. Don't know if that's true, but we are hearing word that Tatiana Suarez, the number one contender, maybe take on the number three contender, Virna Jandoba. I don't know if that's true, but we'll have to see. As for this fight, light heavyweight division, Ozzie Diaz, he'll be making his UFC debut. He is currently 9-2 professionally, 34 years old, as he takes on the 17-6 Zhang Mountain Tiger Ming Yang. Oh my gosh, his knockout of Brenton Ribeiro was so good. And by the way, 17 wins, 17 finishes, 100% finish rate. Loved what I saw from Zhang Ming Yang in that Brenton Ribeiro fight. He put him out cold with a knockout. Got a performance bonus. You already bet on picking him against Ozzie Diaz. Now, Ozzie Diaz actually won the light heavyweight championship in LFA, notable MMA organization. But we're in China. You got the giant Zhang Mingyang. I just do not see him losing in his home nation. We're going to back him. That's what we're going to do. And as for that, that's all the new fights we got. As unfortunate as it is, that is all the new fights that we have. I wish we had more. You know, maybe they'll announce a couple more before the night's over. But that's all we got for new UFC news and fights. Now, on the other hand, we do have some updates to the UFC rankings. Of course, the UFC rankings, where we know that little number next to their name that you see, that is their ranking in the world, I guess, as they say it. But it's more so in the UFC. I mean, this is the premier organization if you're an MMA fighter, so if you want to view it like that. But as we go through, we'll go from top to bottom here. So first off, women's bantamweight division, Norma Dumont moving up 3 spots after beating Irene Aldana in dominant fashion. She's now the number 5 ranked woman. Okay, Norma Dumont on a bit of a roll. Irene Aldana drops down to 6, Mara Buena Silva to 7, Holly Holmes to 8. Norma, I'm very interested to see where she goes from here. She's on a little win streak. I think it's 5 fights, 6 fights now or something. Norma's been looking pretty good, and I think we know what we're going to do here. You know, number 1 ranked Julia Pena is taking on Raquel Pennington. Number 2 ranked Caitlin Vieira is taking on number 3 ranked Kayla Harrison. Number 4 ranked Macy Chison, the last woman to beat Norma Dumont, was by split decision. Both of those women should match up and get a title shot. So I think the women's bantamweight picture is kind of lined up right now. Winner of Caitlin Vieira and Kayla Harrison at UFC 307 will take on the winner of the women's bantamweight championship matchup between Raquel Pennington and Julia Pena on the same card. Then Norma Dumont, Macy Chison, winner of that, can get the next title shot. You know, Mara Buena Silva, Holly Holmes, they're going to be fighting down. They're going to be fighting someone lower level, women's bantamweight. I think, you know, women's bantamweight was in a rough position, but with women like Norma Dumont, Kayla Harrison, they can restore it to glory. We'll have to see, though. Women's flyweight division, Valentina Shevchenko, new women's flyweight champion. She bumps Alexa Grasso down to the number 1 spot. And I actually believe it's pretty easy what's going on at women's flyweight. Valentina Shevchenko, new champion, the number 2 ranked Man Viorat. She's essentially the number 1 contender since Grasso just moved down from the championship position. She'll fight Valentina hopefully in the next 7 to 8 months, 6 maybe or something. Number 3 ranked Erin Blanchfield is taking on number 5 ranked Rose Namajunas. Macy Barber, ranked number 4, might just have to wait in the wings, because I believe the number 6 ranked Natalia Silva should take on Alexa Grasso. And, you know, Erin Blanchfield is probably in that number 1 contender fight with Rose Namajunas, but if Natalia Silva can get a win over Alexa Grasso, that would be monumental for her. I'm sorry, Macy Barber, there's just nothing really to do with you. I guess we could go Macy Barber versus Alexa Grasso, but Natalia Silva makes a bit more sense to me. No updates at women's strawweight, as I mentioned. Number 1 ranked Tatiana Suarez, number 3 ranked Fiona Jandroba. That matchup is rumored to be taking place. So, Zhang Weili, Yan Chanwen, it was an entertaining fight to some regard. You can always run that one back. The women's pound-for-pound rankings, this is where it gets interesting. Technically, I have no idea how she landed here. Alexa Grasso was the number 1 pound-for-pound woman in the world. With her defeat at the hands of Valentina Shevchenko, Valentina now assumes the spot of the top pound-for-pound woman in the world, and it honestly makes sense if you ask me. Grasso moves down to number 3, Zhang Weili is at number 2, and honestly, if Zhang Weili were to fight Valentina, I'd probably go with Zhang Weili. She's kind of the number 1 pound-for-pound woman's fighter, if you ask me. The women's pound-for-pound rankings are pretty screwy. I mean, at number 4 is Man Fiorat, number 5, Juliana Pena, number 6, Rose Namajunas, number 7, Erin Blanchfield. Number 8, Raquel Pennington. I mean, they're pretty rough, the women's pound-for-pound rankings. Like, if we're actually looking at the pound-for-pound best women in the UFC, I mean, give me Valentina Shevchenko, give me Zhang Weili, give me, not Raquel Pennington, who's the women's bantamweight champion, give me Kayla Harrison. She's mauling everyone. Julia Pena, maybe. I'll need to see how she performs. Yan Chaones look good. Jessica Andrade, I think she's a top pound-for-pound woman, even if she keeps losing here and there. She's always entertaining to watch. So it's just very interesting for me to see how kind of screwy the rankings are, but that's the state of the women's division. Honestly, everything looks pretty accurate in the rankings. The one thing I'll say is that Julia Pena hasn't fought since July of 2022, hasn't won since December of 2021, and is somehow the number 5 ranked woman in the world. And by the way, is getting a title shot off of losing a 5-round decision where she got 50-42, to my opinion. Just my one complaint there. Moving on to the heavyweights, let's start off with the men's heavyweight, the men's divisions, starting with the heavyweight division. No changes so far. Number 1 ranked John Jones, the champion John Jones, taking on the number 8th ranked Stipe Miocic in November. You got number 2 ranked Ciryl Gane, number 3 Alexander Volkov doing battle. And a really weird mix right now. You got the 6th ranked Halton Almeida, he could maybe square off with Sergey Pavlovich at 4. Number 5 ranked Curtis Blaydes could take on number 7th ranked Sergey Spivak. That's how you want to match it up. It's getting a little awkward at the top. And when we talk about the men's heavyweight division compared to other divisions, I mean, the difference between the number 6 and the number 15 guy is dramatic. So I'd say, you know, your top 6 guys, John Jones excluded, Tom Aspinall, Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov, Sergey Pavlovich, Curtis Blaydes, Halton Lomena. After that, Jarzynko Rozenstruik, he's lost to, I'm pretty sure, 3 of the guys, 4 of the guys I just listed. Marcin Tybura, Tai Tuivasa, Alexander Romanov, Marcos Rogero de Lima, Rodrigo Nascimento. The competition level is the skill level, I should better say, is completely different. Heavyweight division, I'm interested to see what happens. But Tom Aspinall, he is the official backup fighter for UFC 309, the main event. So if, I mean, I just see a world where Stipe Miocic pulls out and John Jones fights Tom Aspinall and Tom Aspinall realizes his childhood dream. I don't know, I'm just saying that could maybe happen. We'll have to see. Men's light heavyweight division, no changes so far. Of course, number one ranked, but the champion, Alex Pereira, taking on the number 8th ranked Khalil Roundtree Jr. for the belt October 5th. Jiří Procházka, Magomed Ankalaev, Jamal Hill, Humble Hovich, Alexander Rocket. So it's a whole mix of fighters in there. We'll see what comes of that throughout the rest of the year. Middleweight, no changes. Dreyfus Duplessis, it's looking like he might rematch Sean Strickland. Big fight between Robert Whittaker and Khamzat Chimaev coming up, and a big fight between Nazarudin Imavov and Brendan Allen. Keep those two fights on your radar. Same thing goes for welterweight. No officially huge fights booked as of right now, besides the number 9 ranked Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on the number 11 ranked Joaquin Buckley. You know, I'm thinking Shafkat, ranked number 3, should get the title shot. Let's match up Colby Covington with Ian Garry. Let's match up Sean Brady with Leon Edwards. I don't know. Welterweight, we'll see what happens. Men's lightweight, yet again, nothing really being announced. Armin Tsarukyan versus Islam Makhachev is rumored to be going down in December, January, or February. Now, of course, number 2 ranked Charles Oliveira, number 6 ranked Michael Chandler doing battle. Gaethje and Poirier said they want to have themselves a little trilogy to kind of end their careers. Dan Hooker kind of left with no one to fight. But with the word, someone's moving down, aren't they? Someone's moving down in weight, I swore. Moving up from lightweight. Oh, Brian Ortega is moving up in weight. So Brian Ortega could fight Dan Hooker or something. I don't know. But speaking of Dan Hooker, speaking of the men's featherweight division, that's where the biggest jump happens right here. Diego Lopez jumps 10 spots in the rankings. He's now the number 3 ranked featherweight in the world. Mind you, he debuted in May of 2023 and lost to the currently ranked number 6 Mozafar Evloev. By the way, Mozafar hasn't lost a single fight since then, still undefeated 18-0, and Diego Lopez just jumped him. But might I say, in the time since they fought, Mozafar has had 1 fight, Diego Lopez has had 5. He's been an absolute killer, an absolute savage, and you best bet I'm gonna say it, give him the title shot. Give Diego Lopez the title shot. It seems so fitting to me. You can even have him fight Volkanovski. I don't know. Entertaining stuff. Brian Ortega, ranked number 5, he's going to lightweight. Look, you got Benil Dariush, Dan Hooker, Mateusz Gernot. There's a lot of people that would fight you at the lightweight. And actually, Brian Ortega versus Pei Pimlet would be a very good fight. I would very much be interested in that. Arnold Allen drops down to 7. I don't know if he has a fight right now. Josh Emmett down to 8. He doesn't have a fight. Number 9 ranked Aljamain Sterling now, he pulled out of his fight against Mozafar Evloev, so Mozafar will be looking for a new opponent for UFC 307 October 5th. Calvin Kattar down to 10, Giga Kachadze down to 11, Leroy Murphy down to 12, Bryce Mitchell down to 13. So everyone kind of getting bumped down a bit. Diego Lopez, welcome to the top 5 in the men's featherweight division. Another huge change, of course, Merab Dovizioglu, your new men's bantamweight champion. Of course, he'll have a date with the number 2 ranked Umar Nurmagomedov in the future. But the final thing I wanted to touch on was Merab is now the number 7th ranked man in the pound-for-pound rankings. That's right, your men's bantamweight champion is at number 7. Just above him, Dreyfus Duplessis and Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad is the number 5 pound-for-pound fighter in the world. That just does not seem real to me, if you're asking. Just my personal opinion. Sean O'Malley drops 7 spots down to 13. Sean Strickland down to 14. Charles Oliveira down to 15. I think they booted Robert Whittaker from the men's pound-for-pound rankings. That's kind of sad to see, but hey, what are you going to do? The rankings are always shifting, always changing. But congrats to Merab, number 7 pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I'd honestly have him as the number six. I'd have Driscus at five, Bilal at, I don't even know where I'd have Bilal. Bilal's not a top power fighter in the world. But yeah, rankings go always change. I figured I'd touch more on the rankings this time since there were a lot more bigger changes. So hope you enjoyed that. And now you're all informed about all the recent changings in the UFC rankings. And there's also some other changes going on, if no one was aware. Of course, in pop culture, that's right, the movie, the TV show realm, there's always stuff going down. And on every episode, we look at 10 new things coming at you in pop culture. Let's get right into it. Starting off with number one, James Cameron says future Terminator films will not include any iconography or characters from past films. You get too inside it and then you lose a new audience because the new audience care much less about the stuff that you think they do. Honestly, I'm with you. If you're going to keep making Terminator films, you need to stop doing Arnold Schwarzenegger clones. You need to stop having older versions of Arnold Schwarzenegger. It doesn't make sense. The Terminator universe is its own whole thing. I'm sure there's different worlds you could visit. I kind of get James Cameron's vision here, and I would honestly say that I support it. Colin Farrell says he wore a penguin penis as part of his costume for the Penguin series coming to HBO Max, I think actually today. It's detachable, it's Velcro, it's got a beak at the end of it, so I had a penguin penis. I cannot believe he would do that or admit that. That is just Hollywood for you. Just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. Number three, Sebastian Stan says Kevin Feige is the most selfless man on the planet. It became very convenient to pick up on Marvel films, and that's fine. Everyone's got an opinion, but they're a big part of what contributes to the business and allows us to have smaller movies as well. Sometimes I get protective of it because the intention is really effing good. It's just effing hard to make a good movie over and over again. I think I meant to say pick on. People keep picking on Marvel films. So credit to Kevin Feige for dealing with that. Sebastian Stan, great actor. But I won't lie, Agatha apparently came on Disney Plus, and apparently it sucks. A bunch of lesbian witches doing stuff, which is just two things I don't really dabble with myself. Sebastian Stan, I love whatever movies he's in. He's a great actor, too. I'll add that in right there. And Kevin Feige, I think he's doing a good job running Marvel. Marvel's a billion-dollar agency, billion-dollar company, does what it needs to do. I'm not as much of a fan now as I used to be, but I'll still give them the benefit of a doubt. Number four, Alien Romulus has become the highest grossing horror movie of all time in IMAX theaters. How about that? I've heard great reviews about the Alien films, or Alien Romulus, I should say. I watch all the other Alien films. They just aren't really for me. I might check out Romulus once it comes out to, I'm assuming, HBO Max, or Max, if you just want to call it that. But good for them. IMAX theaters, they're the more pricey theaters. Just a lot of people want to go and experience aliens sucking your faces off in IMAX. So credit to them. Number five, Jennifer Lee is set to direct Frozen 3 and will step down as Walt Disney Animation CCO. Encanto and Zootopia director Jared Bush will be taken over as the creative chief officer. Now, if you were to ask me, Zach, will you be watching Frozen 3? I would say F no, I didn't watch the second one. First one wasn't that bad, though. I'm actually just a hater. Just want to say that. Number six, something about Black Mirror, but I don't really watch any Black Mirror, so I won't really touch on that. Gosh, what else do we have? They have so many random series coming out here and there. Trying to find some fun stuff for you guys. There's nothing. Disgusting film has just brought nothing. Agatha, as I mentioned, debuts with a 72% Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently the audience, like the worldwide score is 69%, but like I said, not really for me. Here we go. Let's do this. Number six, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company have filed a lawsuit against the developer of Pal World. The lawsuit seeks an injunction against infringement and compensation for damages on the grounds that Pal World infringes multiple patent rights. What in the world? Now, I'm not a big Pokemon guy, but when a game is completely copying another game, I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if we can have that. So, Pokemon, good luck with your lawsuit. I don't particularly know what's going to come of that. Number seven, there is nothing, if I'm being honest. Number seven, the next live-action Transformers movie will be the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie. We're still in the development phase, the creators have said. I don't know what to make of that. You know, I have not liked the new Transformer movies since Michael Bay left. I was a Michael Bay Transformers guy, you know, a little Sam Witwicky, little Mark Wahlberg when I need to have him. And I do not understand how Transformers and G.I. Joe are in the same universe. How's that going to work? G.I. Joe? What are they, just like elite assassins or something? I have no idea. But of all the information we could get, that's probably some of the more interesting stuff. Number eight, Mr. Wonderful has been cast alongside Timothy Chalamet, Tyler, the Creator, and Gwyneth Paltrow in Josh Safdie's ping pong player Marty Reisman biopic. Wow, what's Mr. Wonderful's name? Oh my gosh, I cannot. He's the billionaire. He's on Shark Tank. Oh my gosh, Mr. Wonderful Shark Tank. I was thinking of Paul Orndorff. It's Kevin O'Leary. That's his name. Kevin O'Leary starring in a movie. Hey, you get to a point, you know, money and business, they can buy you all sorts of things, but they can't buy you the excitement of being an actor in a film. How about that? What else have I got? Oh, I saw something regarding, you know, for number 9, I don't exactly, there it is, The Passion of the Christ 2 will begin filming in early 2025. Jim Caviezel will return as Jesus. Very crazy that they are making a Passion of the Christ 2. The first one, very graphic, very powerful, brought a lot of people to Christ, which we loved. I just don't know what the second one's going to be about. Apparently, it's going to be about Jesus spending time in hell for those 3 days. Apparently, that's part of the story. You know, I guess I never really recalled that in the Bible, but what do I know? I'm just a simple, humble man. But, I mean, I'm here for it. I might see that in theaters, actually. You know, big Jesus fan. Actually, I like a little Jim Caviezel, too. I like him. And the final thing we'll touch on, since there really is not that much. Lionsgate has signed a deal with the AI firm Runway. Runway will train a new generative AI model on Lionsgate's content to help creatives at the studios augment their work on future film and TV projects. Will you look at that, guys? AI continues to take over. Soon we won't need actors. AI will develop entire films by themselves. Can you believe that? Lionsgate is a big, big, big production company for movies. Big studio. And the fact that they are directly working a deal with an AI firm, that AI firm is going to make some bank, let me tell you that, to help with creating stuff and augment their work. And I mean, that's just touching up on things that may look out of place, out of piece there. You know, I've used AI. AI is very useful. It's a very great tool. It's just weird to see it coming to fruition. And, you know, this is some sci-fi. This is some techno stuff. You know what? I'll try and stay out of it. Gives me the heebie-jeebies, if I'm being honest. Not really. I kind of like it. So that's your pop culture recap. Not too many mind-blowing things, but some interesting stuff here and there. And also, I'll tell you, there's some other interesting stuff. And that's if you're a football fan. Let me tell you about a little fantasy football. Fantasy football season is in full swing, and if anyone's an avid NFL watcher, NFL fan, you may be surprised to know where some of the players to start off the NFL season are ranked in terms of fantasy points. I don't have the exact amounts, but I do have the names for every position, so I just kind of wanted to talk about this. So here are the current top 10 fantasy performers for every position, and before I begin, let me just say I'm aware it's only week 2, but nonetheless, 2 weeks in, very interesting to see this stuff. At QB, Baker Mayfield, your number one fantasy QB through the first 2 games. Crazy. Derek Carr, number 2. Kyler Murray at 3. I would honestly expect that. Lamar Jackson at 4, I would like. The rookie, Jaden Daniels at 5. Congrats to them. Jalen Hurts at 6. I expect him to climb the ladder a bit. Same with Josh Allen at 7. The sophomore, Anthony Richardson, which this kind of feels like his rookie year almost. He's at 8. Geno Smith at 9. And the Vikings quarterback, Sam Darnold, is the number 10 fantasy QB. Can you believe that? Do you believe that? No Patrick Mahomes, no CJ Stroud, no. You got Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr as your top 2 guys. Absolutely love that. Running back, Alvin Kamara, your number 1. He's had a crazy 44-point performance. And, I mean, returning to the throne, Alvin Kamara, I hope he stays up here. The sophomore, Devin Achane from the Dolphins. Dude is an absolute stud. He can catch, he can run. It makes sense to me. Saquon Barkley at 3. Looking like he's going to be having a return to prowess here. I love this. J.K. Dobbins at 4 on the Chargers. Talk about a breakout so far through the first 2 weeks. Breece Hall at 5. He was going as the number 1 running back behind Christian McCaffrey. So number 2, actually. He was going right behind Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's yet to play. Breece Hall doing what he needs to do. James Cook at 6. You know, he's doing great with the Bills. Jordan Mason fulfilling the place of Christian McCaffrey on the 49ers. He's at 7. That's insane. James Conner at 8. Back to his normal ways of, you know, hovering around that area for the Cardinals. Ramondre Stevenson at 9. Good for him. Doing his thing with the Patriots. And Joe Mixon at 10. Joe might have gotten hurt, though, which would absolutely hurt me, my $500 10-man fantasy league. So, Joe, if you could get unhurt, I'd very much appreciate that. Wide receiver-wise, no CeeDee Lamb in the top 10. Absolutely crazy. At number one, Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers. Him and Baker, man, taking over the game. And want to know the good thing about that is I have Rashad White, who is the running back, and he's done nothing. He might be one of the biggest busts of the draft. You gotta be kidding me. Same with Zamir White. My two white boys who are black. Unreal. Unreal, if you ask me. Who's that? Who's that guy, you know, who says like Wabbits? You know what I'm talking about? Whoever, Glover, whatever. I don't know. I'm just rambling now. Number two, Nico Collins. It had to be someone, you know. Texans, you know, they got Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell. It's got to go to someone. It's been going to Nico Collins. And number three, the Giants rookie, Malik Nabers. Are you kidding me? The top rookie so far this year. The only rookie in the top 10. Not Marvin Harrison Jr., not Keon Coleman, not Romo Dunze. No, Malik Nabers. Number four, Jaden Reed. Kind of had an off week in week two, but man, he's been good. He's proven to be wide receiver one for the Packers. And number five, I believe he's actually tied with Jaden Reed points-wise, but Cooper Kupp, he's going to be out on IR, I believe. But as for the first 2 weeks, he was the number five wide receiver. Number six, Justin Jefferson, another guy who might have gotten injured. He's doing as much as he can work with Sam Darnold, but he had a great game last game. 97-yard touchdown. We'll take that. And number seven, Jameson Williams of the Lions. Are you kidding me? Amon-Ra St. Brown, not even in the top 10. It's Jameson Williams. Talk about a breakout player this year. And number eight, Alec Pierce. He's proven to be wide receiver one for Anthony Richardson. Crazy to see that boy balling. Rashid Shaheed at number nine. Dude, Rashid Shaheed always has like one or two or three good weeks, then does nothing for five. Then another crazy like 40-point game, then nothing. That's him. And number 10, Davante Adams. Davante works with what he can get. I think one-on-one, he is one of, if not the best wide receivers in the league. Moving to tight ends, Isaiah Likely, not even wide receiver one on his team, tight end number one on the Ravens, and he's the number one guy. All right, number one fantasy guy. He's had a good first 2 weeks. We'll see if it continues to carry. And number two, the rookie Brock Bowers. I'm going to be putting Brock Bowers in over Zamir White against the Panthers. Let me tell you that. Brock Bowers, we knew he was going to be good. We knew he went high. He's been an absolute stud for the Las Vegas Raiders. And number three, George Kittle, no surprise. Number four, Trey McBride, no surprise. Number five, Hunter Henry, let me tell you, Hunter Henry has 2 to 3 good weeks, and he actually does nothing the rest of the season. That's how it always goes for him. Number six, Mike Gesicki, he's been balling with the Bengals. Joe Burrow likes that boy. Number seven, Kyle Pitts, finally has a good QB. Served him well over the first 2 weeks. Zach Ertz at eight. Love to see Zach Ertz still getting it done. At number nine, Pat Freiermuth. You know, good Steelers player right there. And at number 10, Foster Moreau of the Saints. But I do think he's dipping off a bit. Defenses, we'll touch on that. How about the number one defense? The Minnesota Vikings. Let me tell you all about that. Love that. Bears at two. Chargers at three. That's probably unexpected. Steelers at four. Not surprised. Bills at five. Saints at six. They've been doing great. Cardinals at seven. Texans at eight. Cowboys, talk about having one of the greatest fantasy performances for a defense in week one. One of the worst performances by a defense in week two. That's crazy. See, and the Broncos at 10. They got a good D. Kicker-wise, nothing much here. Brandon Aubrey, still your number one kicker for the Cowboys. He's so good. Kymie Fairbairn of the Texans, also doing amazing. And Chris Boswell of the Steelers, he's been getting it done. Also, Austin Siebert of the Commanders joining the top 10. There's like a three-way tie for eight. It's between like Evan McPherson, Cameron Dicker, Siebert. Actually, Prater might actually be in there. It's getting pretty hectic. But in terms of teams, in terms of actual teams, fantasy teams, that is, let me tell you about my fantasy teams, because why, it's my podcast. I can tell you about whatever I want. So in this one league, you know, it's my family league. I'm 1-1. You know, it's been an interesting way to start the season. I got Pacheco and Puka Nacua both on IR now. So that's an absolute doozy to my team. But we got Dak Prescott, J.K. Dobbins, Jordan Mason, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, Sam Laporta, Rashee Rice, the Browns defense, and Cairo Santos. Browns defense, I feel like they're going to start to pick it up soon. Rashee Rice, he's been amazing with Patrick Mahomes. That's Patrick Mahomes' number one guy. Sam Laporta, Jared Goff just has not been looking Sam Laporta's way. I'm pretty sure through the first 2 weeks, he's only had 8 targets and made 6 catches, only 58 yards, yeah. He needs to dial it up if we're going to make a run. But like I said, my bench, Rashid White, I can't start him. Rashad White, I can't start him anymore. Okay, he's been letting me down too many times. So the running back room in a bit of trouble, but I'm confident with my wide receivers are healthy. Puka Nacua, CeeDee Lamb, that's dirty. As for Ayuk, you know, Debo's out, Christian McCaffrey's out. Someone's got to be thrown to. Someone's got to throw to him, and I hope it is him. I hope it's him. Who's on Brock Purdy? That's who it is. In my 10-man, or was it 12-man, Ultimate Fantasy League, random league, I'm 2-0. I'm an absolute unit. We got Josh Allen, Travis Etienne, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Smith, Dalton Kincaid, Rashad White, Cowboys defense, and Brandon Aubrey. Pacheco on IR, that's a doozy. T. Higgins on the bench. I mean, he hasn't even played a game yet so far. Jordan Addison, he's been getting kind of hurt here and there. You also got Brandon Cooks, Tyler Lockett, Wandale Robinson. My bench is just loaded with a bunch of mid-level players. So we're currently undefeated, and I have a big matchup with my boy Tyler, and Tyler talks so much shit. I'll straight up say that. He talks so much shit, and I really want to run him out of the water. He's got Kyler Murray. He's got Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Dalton Schultz, Christian Kirk, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, Harrison Butker. If you'd told me that, 2 years ago, I'd have been like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get destroyed, but Derrick Henry does nothing. Josh Jacobs might be injured. Tyreek Hill's been kind of probably going to be struggled to be passed to by Skylar Thompson. I'm honestly down for that. And then another league in ESPN is a 16-man league, I'm sorry, with a bunch of my friends, and this one, a lot of money on the line, a lot of money. $30 buy-in times 16. You do the math, my friend. I got Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. They're my dynamic duo. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's having a breakout year, I'm calling it. Brian Thomas Jr., my rookie from the Jaguars. Rashad White and Zamir White are my running backs. They suck so much, though. So Brock Bowers is going into my flex. Just got the Chicago D, Cairo Santos. I like that little pairing right there of defenses and that. Taking on my friend Connor, he's got Joe Burrow, Breece Hall, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, Travis Kelce, Najee Harris. So yikes, that Breece Hall, Chris Godwin scares me. Kelce hasn't done much. Travis Kelce only has 7 targets, 4 catches through the first 2 weeks. So we'll see what happens from there. But ESPN has been treating me kindly so far. Now, I'm also on the NFL Fantasy app, and if I'm being completely honest, guys, I do not really understand how to work this app, and my team is in dire need of help, all right? I got Joe Mixon, Justin Jefferson, Kenneth Walker, Deebo Samuel, and Evan Ingram. They're all hurt or out. They're all hurt out. My team is being just destroyed, okay? We got CJ Stroud currently in. Joe Mixon, I don't know if I'm going to have to bench him for someone. Travis Etienne again, I love him. Justin Jefferson, you know, if he's healthy, it will work out well. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's having a breakout year. Cole Kmet is going to have to play in the tight end position. We got Rashid Shaheed in the flex, though. Jake Elliott is kicker and Cowboys D. I'm not too mad at both of those, but my matchup, it's looking rough. I'm taking on Jared Goff, Derrick Henry, James Cook, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, George Kittle, Jordan Mason, Evan McPherson, the Browns. I'm actually not that scared of that team. Who am I taking on? I'm taking on Matt Lederbach. I'm also going to beat you, Matt. All right, I'm 0-2 in that league, but we're going to bounce back. I'm also in, that's right, one more league, guys, a sleeper league with all my friends down here in Mankato, or our little 8-man group, if you will. Ooh, I actually have to do a dynasty pool for making predictions. I did not even realize this, so we're actually gonna, I'll do that later. But my team in here, 8-man PPR. I was being a troll and drafted Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, so I do find that kind of funny. But we got Jordan Mason, James Cook, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Devontae Smith, Devin Achane, Brandon Aubrey, Chiefs team. I love my team, okay? Blake Corum, Alec Pierce, Jordan Addison, Evan Ingram on the bench. Also got Brock Purdy, backup QB. Pretty confident with my team. Taking on my buddy Garrett. He's got Joe Burrow. So I'm playing Joe Burrow and Breece Hall in multiple leagues. Kyron Williams, Tyreek Hill again, Mike Evans, Trey McBride, Malik Nabers, Rashee Rice, Young Hoku in the Steelers D. So a lot of competition, a lot of stuff going down. Fantasy football season is in full swing. There's your little rundown about my teams. Let me know if you guys have any similar players. And also where we stand, because I'm going to try and do this every single week just to kind of see the fluctuation so far. Because just so everyone knows, Alan Lazard, after week number 1, was the number 3 fantasy wide receiver, and he did nothing against who the Jets play last time. Was it the Titans? So it's just interesting to look at that stuff. Fantasy football, you know, a lot of money on the line in a lot of different leagues. Pride to just saying you're better than your boy. It's It's a whole thing. So that's your little fantasy football recap, or I don't even know what you want to call that. Rewind? Looking back? Looking ahead, if you will. That's all you're doing in fantasy football is looking ahead. But we have 16 games, 32 teams, and I have to drop my prediction for every single game. So, I mean, let's not waste any time. Let's get right on into it with your official Week 3 NFL predictions. Kicking things off for week number 3, we have the Patriots visiting the Jets on Thursday night football. Patriots and Jets both currently sitting at 1-1. Honestly, it's one of those games where it's like, you know, this doesn't feel like it'll be a good Thursday night football game, and this is where we actually get a good Thursday night football game. Of course, on Amazon Prime, you know, you get Jacoby Brissett versus Aaron Rodgers, and we are in New York, but I mean, Patriots and Jets, divisional rivals, they always seem to be splitting and stuff. Personally, in my opinion, I'm gonna give this one to the Jets. I'm just feeling the Jets when it comes to this one. I mean, Jets, don't, they've had an interesting start to the season. Lost to the 49ers and then win over the Titans. Patriots, I just feel like they're a fluke team to start 2-0. I'm thinking the Jets are a team to watch out for in the AFC East, because that division's wide open. You know, we've seen the Dolphins without Tua, they're going to collapse. And the Bills, you know, I would honestly consider the Bills a bit untested so far. We'll have to see, though. But I am going to give the first game of Week 3 to the Jets. Then with that, guys, we jump right on into NFL Sunday, and we're kicking things off with the Giants visiting the Browns. And I'm going to be honest, this Giants team, I just don't have that much faith in. Now, I like Malik Nabers, don't get me wrong, but other than Malik Nabers, that's it. That is honestly it for this team. Giants 0-2, already have a minus 25-point differential. Plus, they're on the road. And Cleveland, their defense is nasty. I really like this Cleveland defense. Now, the offense is very unpredictable. You never know if they're going to score 40 points or 3. So, you never know what you're going to get. But the Browns, I do like the Browns' odds. And if anyone knows the podcast, we usually like to split our predictions between home teams and away teams, sort of like 8-8. So, starting off, two home teams getting it done. Obviously, this, we can always get a different outcome, but the Giants, there's not a lot of hope with them. They're like the Panthers. I feel like they didn't improve over the offseason. We're gonna give this one to the Browns. Next game, though, here's where things get very interesting. The Eagles visiting the upstart Saints, of course. Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Rashid Shaheed, Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau. The defense, the Saints team has taken the league by storm. Surprisingly, I don't think anyone really expected this. Saints are currently the best team in the league statistically, I think. 91 points for, 29 points against, 2-0. That's what I see so far. And the Eagles, all right? The Eagles 1-1, and they've kind of collapsed in both games. I mean, the Falcons one was atrocious. I cannot believe they lost that game. Now, the Eagles, you still have to remember the Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley. They have a very good offense. They have a very good offense, but can the defense make up for it? And with how good the Saints have been, I don't really know. But I also feel a team like the Eagles, that they can bounce back after a loss like this. Now, the Saints being at home, I really like. They did just blow out the Cowboys on the road. Now, this is kind of reminiscent of me of last year when the Vikings got a blowout win on the road and came back and got blown out by the Cowboys. So, actually, it might have been 2 years ago. I can't remember. It might have been last year, I think it was. So, we're actually going to give this one to the Eagles on the road. I'm very high on this Eagles team. I think that Falcons loss was a complete fluke, and Kirk Cousins just has back. He's got that clutch gene in him. So we're going to say Eagles over the Saints, and maybe it would feel like an upset, honestly. After that, this is one of the easiest ones of the week, guys. Texans, Vikings. If anyone knows, here on the pod, we pick the Vikings every week. I'm a Vikings fan. And as much as it was crazy for me to... The Giants prediction, I don't think that was that crazy. But for me to actually ride with the 49ers game and actually think we can beat them, and the way we did that too, I mean, we led the entire game. I was thrilled. Okay, with this Texans team, there's just something about the Texans that I think people need to be a bit wary of. Now they are 2-0. You know, great start for the season. I mean, they beat the Colts, they beat the Bears, But the Colts and Bears, they were playing close. And especially with the fact that Texans offense couldn't really get going. Nico Collins cooked. But other than that, you know, nothing too much. Vikings, number one defense currently. Sam Darnold's a baller. Justin Jefferson said for sure he is playing. Look, I don't know, Ty Chandler, Aaron Jones, who we're going to get. But if Jordan Addison's back, I'm really liking our odds. Give me Vikings all day. It should not be a shocker to anyone. Next matchup, Broncos visiting the Buccaneers. Look, Buccaneers are like the Saints. I wouldn't say people expected little of them. I would not expect people were expecting much of them. Buccaneers also 2-0, 57 points for, 36 points against, undefeated on the road and the home so far, the first two games. And the Broncos, I mean, Caleb Williams has been playing good. Bo Nix has not been playing good. Oh my gosh, Broncos, bottom of the league, bottom of the AFC West. There's just little hope in Denver right now. It's a shame Russell Wilson couldn't play. But I don't know. Buccaneers, all signs point to them having a great game. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they've been balling. By the way, Baker Mayfield, Chris Godwin, the number one fantasy QB and wide receiver on this team. Give me Buccaneers all day. And honestly, all these home teams this week are so appetizing. It's going to be hard to pick against them. Next matchup, Packers visiting the Titans. I don't know if Will Levis is going to need something to wake him up, but he just was not looking himself against the Jets. And I don't know what himself really is yet, but the Titans 0-2. Now, mind you, the entire AFC South is 0-2 except the Texans, so we should give them a bit of leniency there. But as we look at their first two games to start the season, lost to the Bears, they choke a 17-0 lead against the Titans. They score 17 again. Actually, 24-17 losses through both of their first two games. Very odd. Very odd. But they do get Green Bay coming to them. This Green Bay team, Malik Willis didn't do a bad job. All right, I'm not a huge Packers fan in the slightest. Packers are my least favorite team. But I don't really hate them this year. There's something about them. I don't really hate them this year. And they played the Colts close, played the Eagles close. It will all come down to if Jordan Love plays. I think he's doubtful or questionable at the moment. So, I don't know. Tony Pollard, he's been doing pretty good for this team, getting way more touches than Tajay Spears. Calvin Ridley had a good game last time. So, it's going to boil down to if Jordan Love plays. And if Jordan Love plays, I will pick them. But if not, I'm not going to. So, we're actually going to say the Titans get this one done. That's just my vision. It's just how I see it. But I don't know. Will Levis has just looked so shaky as the head guy. I don't even know who their backup is, so they might be in trouble. Another noon matchup for you. Bears and the Colts. Bears and the Colts having themselves a little game in Indianapolis. Okay, a little Indianapolis action for you. I like this matchup. Personally, young team of the Bears, young team of the Colts, going to be pretty good. The Bears' defense is exceptionally better than the Colts' defense. Now, when it comes to offense, I do think the Colts is better. All right, more weapons to the Bears, but Caleb Williams is just shaking off the jitters. I don't know what it is. Jaden Daniels should have been the number one pick. That's what we're going to get the Commanders with the final game of the week, but I mean, Caleb Williams has just not looked anywhere near his college form. 1-1, they do have a +1 point differential. Now they're only losses to the Texans. They had a comeback against the Titans. There's some positives you can find. The Colts, 0-2, both of those losses, it felt like they shouldn't be losing. Honestly, I feel like they should have beat the Texans. They were so close. And then the Packers game, the offense just couldn't get rolling, even in the slightest. This Bears team, I don't know what it is about them. I just feel like we're going to get a little Bears upset on the road against the Colts. We're going to go Bears over the Colts. I'm not a huge Bears fan. My whole family is Bears fans, though. So I will give this to them, a little road win for the Bears. With that, we have our final noon game for NFL Sunday, and that is the Chargers visiting the Steelers. If you'd have told me the Chargers and Steelers would both be undefeated their first 2 weeks, I'd call it crazy, but no, Chargers are the best team in the AFC West. Their point differential is +35, Chiefs is only 8. That's right, the Chargers have a better point differential than the Chiefs, and it's this run game, man. J.K. Dobbins has been a killer. You know, the passing game, Quentin Johnson had a breakout game. Okay, Ladd McConkey, it wasn't week one. You might expect a little Josh Palmer in week three. I don't know what to expect in the receiving department, but the run game, I mean, Harbaugh has them running the ball 50-60 times. It's absolutely insane. Steelers, you know, they'll limit you. Steelers defense, one of the best, if not the best defenses in the league, 2-0, only have allowed 16 points. There should be a bit of concern. You know, the Chargers, they've only allowed 13 points, Mind you, they've played the Raiders and the Panthers. The Panthers shouldn't even count as a team in this league. So we are going to give this one to the... I don't know, guys. I'm a little troubled. Steelers? We'll go Steelers. Steelers to start out 3-0. That's what we're going to go with. We're going to go with them. We'll see what happens, but... I don't know. Steelers, there's something about them. Plus, Seth will be happy knowing that I picked the Steelers. Getting into our 3:30, 3:05 games. Dolphins visiting the Seahawks. Any other week, I'd have probably picked the Dolphins with ease, but Tua Tagovailoa is out, and he's a key piece of this team. All right, not to answer Skylar Thompson. Scott Thompson, great backup, knows his role. But the Seahawks, their team is completely healthy, and with Kenneth Walker out, we saw they still shined. They still shined pretty bright. And, you know, beating the Patriots, beating the Broncos. Ooh, actually, never mind. Those are not two of the most impressive wins that I've seen. Dolphins, it was a tough loss to the Bills, but the Bills do have a good team. I have not picked many road teams to win so far. You know, I might be picking road teams soon. So I'm actually feeling the Seahawks in this one. Seahawks getting a win over the Dolphins. Also, there's something about the Dolphins coming all the way from Florida, having to travel all the way to Seattle. Either they'll be motivated or they'll suffer a tough loss. It'll kind of be sad. Keeping us rolling, Panthers, Raiders. Do I even have to do an analysis here? Raiders all day. Now, mind you, Dalton is mixing it up. Dalton is mixing it up. He's coming in for Bryce Young, so that could be the change they need. I'm definitely seeing Andy Dalton throwing to Deontay Johnson and now Thielen more, but Miles Sanders and Chubb Hubbard still the RBs. I don't understand. That makes sense. I don't even know who their tight end is. It's rough in Carolina. Now, so the Raiders, they found their footing last time, pulled off an upset over the Ravens. I think Devontae Adams is very satisfied with what we've seen from Gardner Minshew so far. Brock Bowers has been an absolute stud. Jacoby Myers, that's your wide receiver too. Are you kidding me? Now we do get into the running back room where Madison's punching some goal line touchdowns, but Zamir White has done nothing. Zamir White and Rashad White, both of my running backs are in trouble, okay? And I have them in so many different leagues. They really need to get together, but we're going Raiders all day. They're at home. Carolina is, I don't know if they're going to win a game the rest of the year. They might. We'll see how Andy Dalton performs. Keeping us moving, one of the better games, this could be game of the week, 49ers at the Rams. Now, there's a lot of guys out. You got Puka Nacua out. You got Cooper Kupp out. You got Deebo Samuel out. You got Christian McCaffrey out. So you're not getting a fully healthy team, but 49ers, don't let the Vikings game fool you. They are dominant, and I don't know what it is about this Rams team. They just don't strike me as a team hungry to get things done. So I'm picking the 49ers to win right here. And when we look at the NFC West, I mean, Seahawks are atop it. Rams are 0-2. They've given up 67 points through the first 2 weeks. That is atrocious. 49ers, I mean, they played the Vikings close. They manhandled the Jets. I think the 49ers can get it going. I think Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle are both going to have massive, massive games. And of course, Jordan Mason, the stud running back. I always love that we have a stud running back. Last year it was Kyren Williams. This year it's looking like it's going to be Jordan Mason. Actually, you could even say Raheem Mostert, Devin Achane last year. A lot of exciting stuff. Another one for you, Lions and Cardinals. Man, oh man, they got some good games this week. Lions shockingly 1-1 to start the year. They were upset by the Buccaneers, just could not put it together. Jared Goff just could not find his footing. That's for the Cardinals. I mean, they've started off their year pretty good, 1-1, but a momentous 1-1, a momentous 1-1 for this team. And I'll say that because Marvin Harrison Jr. proved last game that he is as good as people think he is. He is as good. Number 69 points for the first 2 weeks. They put up 28 on the Bills. They blew out the Rams 41-10. Now we are in Carolina. We are in Carolina. They might have a little momentum. This Lions team is good. But I'm going to give this one to the Cardinals. There is just something about this team. I think the Lions might be falling into a Bills or Eagles category where you make it almost all the way to the big one and you just cannot regain that magic, even though you retain all the pieces in the following year. So we're going to go with the Cardinals on paper, maybe Lions, but Cardinals, there's something about them. I feel like they're going to be having a good year. This one, I know we have two Monday Night Football games. So yeah, okay, this is another 3:30 game, Ravens and Cowboys. It's all going to come down to which offense can beat which defense. All right, we've seen both these teams last week one, they both looked phenomenal. Week two, it didn't even make sense what I was witnessing. The Ravens now find themselves as the worst team in the AFC North. Unreal, unreal. And the Chiefs game ultimately almost came back. Raiders game, they choked. So Now you're going from Kansas City to Las Vegas. Actually, we're in Baltimore. Now you're going to Dallas. Dallas did just get blown out by the Saints, but I do think the Saints have a bit of sugar and spice to start off the year. Cowboys, they've scored 52, given up 61. I'm still high on this Cowboys team. Plus, I got CeeDee Lamb. I got the Cowboys D. I got Brandon Aubrey. I got a ride with the Cowboys in this one. As far as like actual reasoning, when I look at the teams, I just think the Cowboys, the CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott connection is always going to be there. Now, running back rooms, technically Derrick Henry's better, but both their running back rooms have become so predictable. It's gonna be a shootout. It's gonna be a shootout, throwing the ball deep, throwing the ball short, trying to get yardage here and there. But I'm gonna give the Cowboys a benefit of the doubt to rally, and Ravens starting out 0-3 would not surprise me, being with how much hype was on them. Almost like the Vikings last year, if you will. Then we get into our Monday Night Football game, Chiefs and Falcons. And I hate to say it, you know, I would love to pick the Falcons. They just had a little Monday Night miracle. But the Chiefs are the favorites to repeat, do a little trifecta, pulling off a little Michael Jordan, and seeing how the refs call them, seeing how it's done. I just think the Chiefs get this one down. And this will be a big tell of how they perform with Pacheco out, which really sucks if you ask me. But they're 2-0 to start the year. The win over the Ravens, the win over the Bengals. They do it. They get it done. And we know how good Patrick Mahomes is. And he's barely been using Travis Kelce. We'll have to see if he utilizes him some more. And Cody Steele, you know, he's the new running back. Also have Samaje Perine. We'll have to see. But Falcons, I just don't see it. Now let's see what this team, and sure they came back on the Eagles, but that's the Eagles, all right? They still have a -7 point differential. They've lost to the Steelers. They had a little comeback on the Eagles. They play pretty good. You know, they got all the weapons, but I think they're overrated. I don't think they're going to go far. We're going to give this to the Chiefs, but ultimately, whenever I pick the Chiefs, I don't really mind if they lose. I'd be surprised if they lose at this point, being that they just play so well, and the league just seems to love them, so... There's your Sunday football. We get into Monday, and we get two games. First off, Jaguars-Bills. And usually this would be a Bills lock, but we have to remember that this is a Monday Night Football game. And weird things always happen on Monday Night Football. I mean, look at the first 2 weeks of Monday Night Football. I mean, we kicked things off. What was the first Monday Night Football game? I can't even remember what the week one NFL football game was. Can we go back to week one of the NFL? Can I see that even? Can I see that? What was week one of the NFL's Monday Night Football game? It was Jets and 49ers. That was kind of a blowout. But last week, Eagles, Falcons, that was an entertaining game. It's stuff to say. You know, I got Josh Allen. Keon Coleman rides my bench. I got James Cook. You know, Jaguars, I got ETN. Ingram rides my bench. So I do have Brian Thomas Jr., so I do have some weapons. But this Bills team, they seem to be fitting together well. They seem to be doing their thing when they need to. So we're going to give the Bills the benefit of the doubt here. We're going to give the Bills the victory here. And that's only because we're not predicting both home teams to win, because we have the Commanders visiting the Bengals. And here's your upset of the week, guys. Here's your upset of the week. I think the Commanders, for the final game of Week 3 on Monday Night Football, go into Cincinnati and walk out with the win. That's my bold prediction for you. When you play a Chiefs team close, everyone's going to say, oh, Bengals immediately. The Commanders, you know, there's not a lot of hype around the Commanders. You know, Jaden Daniels has been playing well. They are the best team technically in the AFC East. And, you know, they've beaten the Patriots. They lost to the Bucks, but they look good. Losing by 17 points and looking good is very difficult. That was week one. Patriots was in preseason. They beat the Giants last week, game-winning field goal. So they played them close, but the money's going to be going on the Bengals in this one. And when the money's going on one team, I just always feel like Vegas and the Roots are going to be telling the refs to push it one way. So we're going to give this to the Commanders. I have T. Higgins on my bench. That's it. Joe Burrow, like, he's good, but he's just not 4 years ago good, 3 years ago good when he was making it to the Super Bowl. So we're going to go with the Commanders, your upset of the week, which will have us actually at five road teams winning. I have 11 home teams winning. That seems so unrealistic, but hey, you never know. It's the NFL. Everything's unpredictable. You never know what you're going to get, so... Those are your NFL Week 3 predictions, your locks. We'll say your locks. So we're riding Jets over Patriots tonight. You'll actually know the result by the time you listen to this episode. Giants versus Browns, we're going Browns. Eagles over the Saints, kind of, that would kind of be an upset if you ask me. Vikings over Texans would be viewed as an upset. Buccaneers over Broncos should be routine. Titans over Packers, if Jordan Love's in, it'll be an upset. If not, it just should be expected to win. Bears over Colts, I would say could be considered an upset. Steelers over Chargers, probably not. Seahawks, Dolphins, it's tough to say how you view the Dolphins now without Tua out. Raiders over Panthers should be routine. 49ers over Rams should be routine. Cardinals over Lions could be viewed as an upset. Who knows? Cowboys over Ravens, close game there. Chiefs over Falcons. The Chiefs are the favorites. They're the John Cena, the Rock. They're the Roman Reigns. The Chiefs are the Roman Reigns of the NFL. Bills over Jags, and to end it all out, Commanders and Jane Daniels getting the Monday Night Football win over the Bengals. So that's your week 3 locks, and I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Fun times. I like talking about NFL. I like talking about fantasy football. And like I said, it's the Surprise Jab podcast. It's not the NFL. It's not the UFC jab. It's not the fighting podcast. No, we talk about all sorts of things. And I'm looking to actually be bringing on some people I know, a guest or two, enjoys talking about conspiracy theories. Maybe we do a true crime pod episode where I talk about a true crime or something. I try and solve it with someone. Those ideas have been being thrown out to me. I know a bunch of my buddies also want to come on. Some have been on before. Some may be new guests. I want to talk about the NHL season and a lead up to it. So we're working on getting that. We're working on growing the podcast. And I look at where the podcast was a year ago, and it's grown. If you can't see growth in a year, that's not a good sign. And I've seen so much growth. I am working on potentially getting a camera. It's depending how if I want to spend $400 or not, I'll have to decide. But I truly appreciate all the support. People hear I have a podcast, they go, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And whether you enjoy MMA or not, I encourage you to listen. Maybe you'll hear a new thing. And if you want me to talk about something, I'll more than happily talk about it. I'm always happy to add a new segment on here. That's what we're all about. So that's why I called it the Surprise Jab Podcast. No, the jab's for the UFC. That's why I started this. I love UFC. I love talking about UFC, looking at UFC stuff. That's my gig. But the surprise, I've talked about all sorts of things on here. Conspiracy theories, quantum physics. I've talked about, a whole array of things. And I'm always looking to talk about more things. So, guys, as you're going into this upcoming weekend, as, you're going throughout your life, let me hit y'all with a quote. I always love hitting you with quotes, all right? And this one is from Marcus Tullius Caesarea, all right? I saw this thing and I was like, this is hitting me. So, more is lost by indecision than wrong decision. Let that simmer with you. More is lost by indecision than wrong decision. All right, guys, get out there, make a difference in the world, kick some butt. Share this. Drop a like on the Instagram post when I post. Share a review. Let me know what you guys think. And oh yeah, by the way, I'll make sure to catch you all next time on none other than the Surprise Jab Podcast.